Welcome to The Authentic Spiritual Journey, a weekly podcast featuring real and practical spiritual conversations from fresh perspectives here on the Experience of the Soul podcast channel. Today, episode 267, Specialized Counseling, Honoring People. And now your host, Reverend Cynthia Alice Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Authentic Spiritual Journey. My name is Cynthia Alice Anderson. I'm the host. I'm here today in 818 Studios with my producer.
Good morning, everybody. This is Dave Croft. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of the Authentic Spiritual Journey. As always, I want to welcome you to a brand new week. Hope you had a great weekend. And I just trust and know that the universe has amazing plans just for you.
Just boom, baby. Just say it, Dave. The universe has amazing plans. It's funny because I was just listening to that show this morning about universal support. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, I inspired myself this morning. And because, you know, when I sit down to do those things, I kind of go into this different mode. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it is kind of like listening to somebody else. I was like, these are just spiritual principles that I need to make it through the day. You know what I'm saying? This is like the deal.
Yeah, you have delivery mode and then you have receiving mode. And so when you're giving the talk, you're in delivery mode. But then later, see, past you knew that future you was going to need to hear that.
Yeah, I like the whole parallel universe idea too. Yeah.
Yep.
I think I watched a little too much of The Flash.
Oh, yeah. Maybe a little too, you know, comic book movies. But yeah, it's time is nonlinear to
time
the universe.
Time is nonlinear. Right. Well, and speaking of time being nonlinear, we have a couple of guests with us today. And it seems like it was yesterday that I was with them. Yeah, I've talked about a lot, you know, speaking in Pennsylvania. We promoted it and said a lot about it. And the interesting thing is that I believe so strongly in the work the organizations are doing where I spoke, you know, I spoke for Abilities Behavioral Health and also for Dignity, Inc. And so today we have both the clinical director of Dignity, Inc. and the CEO with us. So you two, welcome, Becky and Kelly. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, this is awesome. So, Becky, where are you joining us from?
I'm joining you from my basement here we're in Warrior Run, Pennsylvania, which is not too far from Wilkes-Barre.
Right, and that's where I spoke when I was there.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And Kelly, what about you?
I am joining you from my car in Oliphant, Pennsylvania, which is a little bit north from Scranton.
Yeah, nice. Well, you guys do really great work, and as always, we love having guests on the show, and we love having people that are doing great work in the community. And as a podcast, you know, the show is called Authentic Spiritual Journey, and we often like to hear a little bit about how you got to where you are, but in this case, I do want to say, Becky, if you don't mind, to say just a little bit about what Dignity is, to give our listeners an idea, because, you know, they only know I spoke there. They don't really know the great work you guys are doing and how it's impacting lives. So tell us just a little bit about, you know, Dignity, Inc. and how it's serving folks.
Sure. So Dignity, Inc., we're a small outpatient counseling center. We were founded technically in 2019. And as we were starting to incorporate, the pandemic happened. So we feel like we're still sort of getting started.
I bet.
Yeah. And so one of our main missions is to provide therapy and other mental health services to folks in our communities who can't typically afford it. There's a very large gap between the folks who are sort of supported, sort of, by medical assistance, and the folks who have adequate private health insurance and can afford therapy, you know, typically. And then there's the folks in that middle, in that gap, who just, you know, are struggling not only financially, but also, of course, at this point in time, with post-pandemic depression, anxiety, economic issues, and, you know, and they're sort of falling through a gap right now. So our main goal is to find those people and to help them.
I think that's interesting and that you're saying that. And I had been on your Facebook page recently where it said there was a chart and it was like the number one reason people don't get mental health counseling is fear of reaching out. Number two reason was financial.
Right.
And often I would say the financial issue is one of the reasons people are afraid to reach out because they say, well, if I reach out and what if I can't afford it?
Right. Exactly. And, you know, we see that a lot. We had someone reach out to us who did have insurance and their insurance was, I mean, the deductible was so high. It was thousands of dollars. So this person who, you know, was expecting to be able to be supported was put in a position where it just was not possible.
And Right.
And a lot of the time, it seems as though we sort of hope that therapists will be able to, you know, kind of take that on and, you know, offer sliding scales or those kind of things. And that still only hits a very small amount of the population. And can cause additional stressors then for the therapist. So, you know, if we can cover some of that, and we do look to public funding for, you know, for some of that to provide a cushion. But that way we can also support our therapists and keep them going and keep them energized and not so much having to worry about shouldering the costs themselves.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's one of the few careers where people expect you to charge less based on what people can pay. Right. If you're a business person, you go to the office and you're paid for your time. And mental health counseling is, you know, supports somebody's entire life. And it is a lot to expect the counselor to adjust all of their rates. And so I love that you guys are trying to meet in the middle. You know, really for both the client and the therapist. And I love your website where it says specialized counseling honoring people. And I feel like it's honoring both sides, both the therapist and the client. And, you know, a therapist is more easily help a client if they're also not concerned with a financial pressure about being able to be present. And Kelly, as a clinical director, I'm sure, you know, you're working a lot with this and you're seeing this firsthand. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your journey with this and where you're at in this process.
Well, as a therapist, it's very difficult to say no to people. And I constantly feel like I'm stuck in a spot where I have to support my family, but I also want to support these individuals. So it's very difficult to find that fine line of who, like, essentially you're turning people away at times because you just can't do it, which is unfair. And then there's other times where you get invested in somebody and something comes back and their insurance doesn't cover in the region that I'm, you know, providing services in. And then I'm already invested. So then I feel stuck. And I don't want to not help that person at the same time. And I feel like everybody in our office is kind of stuck in that position as well, because as social workers, as therapists, we're, you know, supposed to help people, but at the same time, that also puts a burden on our financial lives and our families.
So true. So true. And you have several therapists working with you there, right?
Yes, we do.
Well, and one of the reasons I wanted to have you both on the show is I think, you know, the basic person who has healthcare may never even consider this, but so many of our listeners are engaged in their spiritual journey at a deep level, and they're doing both spiritual work and psychological, which is, of course, what we recommend, because some things are, you know, we're trying to break out of to move forward on our journey are patterning and conditioning from how we were raised, you know, from our family of origin. It's good old, you know, family systems issues. And that we found, and I have found in my own journey, that I can only go so far if I don't deal with the emotional and mental things that are holding me back. So, you know, we believe strongly on the show and the work you guys are trying to do and really want to support that. It's one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on, because some of our listeners are very generous. And I thought, you know, they may want to go on and just contribute, which I'm pretty sure they can do on your site. And, you know, a large portion of that will go, you know, right to supporting the client getting the therapy they need. That's right, isn't it? At godignity.org. That's right, Becky.
That's right. And we have a link for our PayPal right on the Facebook page as well. And 100% of any of the publicly
100%
contributed funds go directly to providing that therapy cost. Yeah. We do accept private insurances too. So the folks that come in, you know, that have private insurance, we're able to fund our operating costs, you know, the cost right. for the building and utilities. So we want to direct as much money as we can right into the fund to help folks.
I think that's really, really good. And, I think our world, especially right now, I can't remember. I think this was pre-show. We were talking about this because you started it coming out of the pandemic. You know, there is a great deal of depression, as we've yeah. seen. The suicide rates are higher right now. And I think they are higher. I had looked it up at one point, and it's also more reported on now because I think people are getting more aware. And, you know, just for our listeners, and Kelly, feel free to speak to this as well. If we know somebody in need, say, that is in depression, what's the best course of action for us to take as a friend or concerned family member? Do we reach out to you guys, to a suicide hotline? I mean, this is what's really happening right now. And I just want to make sure we don't just gloss over that, because these are really tough times for a lot of people.
We always encourage people to use the suicide hotline, the 988 mm-hmm. number, or their local okay. Suicide hotline number that's in their counties. Mm-hmm. For Dignity specifically, our clients and our clinicians typically have a cell phone number that people will reach okay. out to if mm-hmm. they're in need. And I always think that as when I take like my therapist hat off and I have friends that are going through this, like I think the best thing is just being there, because sometimes people don't necessarily want somebody to respond. And I think that's why also people get nervous to call therapists, and they just want to vent and right. not hypothetically be right. sent to the hospital, and they just have to get their emotions out. So I think just being there and listening is probably the biggest thing that yeah. anybody can
holding
do.
Space for people is so incredibly important. And I think we all get a little bit into this headspace of, well, how can I help? How can I help you fix this problem? How can I solve it for you? We don't necessarily always need that. We need someone to sit and hold our hand and just be there, share the energy.
Yes, I think you're exactly right. And I've certainly experienced this in ministry and the counseling I do also one-on-one. And, you know, I was thinking as we were talking about this, because the work is so important, I think anybody who goes into counseling in the mental health field, you know, as you guys have, you have a deep, deep caring for people, and you want, you know, the best for them. You're seeking to support them. How did you, you know, move into this? Becky, you want to talk about it first, since you're the CEO. What was the driving force behind you doing this? Was it your personal experience? Was it to tell us, you know, what led to Dignity Inc.?
So I call myself a gap filler. And my background is in clinical psychology, but most of my career path has been working in home and community-based services, supporting folks with intellectual disabilities, supporting autistic adults, and helping them kind of live their lives. I was a behavior specialist for quite a while. I still am, technically. And that's how I met Kelly. We were working, you know, together on a couple of cases, and as we've just, you know, provided support to folks, one of the big gaps that we see, especially in our area, is quality mental health care for folks with intellectual disabilities and with autism. There are specialized populations of people who require more training and specialization from their therapist to be able to, you know, receive effective treatment. And it doesn't exist in large capacities in our area. So, you know, it just sort of becomes a band-aid. So when, you know, we were talking about that a lot and trying to figure out how we ourselves could fix that. And Dignity was born essentially from that. You know, so that's beautiful. Still our background and still the populations that I particularly like to work with the most. But, you know, going through the pandemic and everything, we realized that there are so many more gaps now that we could try to fill.
Yes, yes, yeah. exactly. Very, very true. Mm-hmm. And Kelly, any thoughts on that, on your journey to this and just mental health in general? What was your driving force in coming into this career and this path with Becky?
Well, Becky and I like floated around each other for years. I think our paths just never actually crossed until like a couple years ago. But I feel the same way as Becky does with that gap. I think when I first started into this field, honestly, like the prison population was what pushed me, because there's a gap from people that are released from prison and then there's nothing and they're just expected to go out into our world again and there's no services to support them. So that was my initial drive. And then I fell in love with behavior at some point in my internship, and I specialize in dual diagnosis for intellectual disabilities, and I just fell in love with that population. And like Becky said, there's a huge gap with quality services there. And I feel like the mental health clinics that are in our area, it's a very, you have to do A, B, C, and there's no support and there's no that person-centered right. approach. They completely dismiss that at that level. And Becky's view, Dignity's view of everything made me want to come on board, because it's not just that one approach. Yeah. We can use different things and it's just well-rounded and better. And you don't get burnt out as quick because you're, right. you know, you're doing something that you actually love and you're being supported by people that love it as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. Well, when I was there with you all, you know, the creative energy in the room was pretty amazing. And, you know, I was there talking on intention, right? And people had, you know, really interesting and creative ways of applying the teaching pretty much right away. And it was obvious that I was in a room full of what I like to call cultural creatives. They're people who think outside the box, and they're helping people who, you guys are helping people who think outside the box. And frankly, there is no box, right? But you know what I mean? They're people that don't fit a norm. And so therefore the therapists that you have, the direct care staff, you know, are going to be people who are, able to flow and shift with that, that still provide help and support. And I know what you mean, Kelly, that traditionally there's like a cookie cutter approach to this, and it leaves so many people out. And I think that's what touched me about the work you guys were doing, is it's such a, like you tailor your approach client by client, like a client by client basis, it seemed from my time there.
Yeah, I definitely feel like we do. I can't even like not say that we don't. Like, it's just a whole different way to work with people. And I feel like the individuals that we work with are more relaxed because of that. And when they walk in, like, especially at Dignity, like, I can't tell you how many people walk in and they're like, wow, this is like nice and relaxing and calming in here. And it's different than the other clinics that you walk into. And it's just a whole different ball game.
I think it's funny that like, that's unusual that you would walk into, yeah. right?
Right. Definitely should be the norm. There should be no reason why cozy and comfortable and relaxing is not the typical therapeutic clinic's approach.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Well, and again, I think it's your own journey that's informing that, because who would want to walk in somewhere where they didn't feel comfortable and welcome? I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer, but so often, yeah, the clinical approach is very sterile and mm-hmm. removed and medical. You know, nobody, I don't think, you know, feels necessarily warm and fuzzy when they walk into that environment. And it's interesting that that's been, that has traditionally, you know, been the norm. Well, and I think, Becky, what you've created, and Kelly, I know you're very much part of it in being the clinical director, is, you know, it's more a feeling of family and home rather than, you know, we're going to pick at your mind. You know, it's like we're going to teach you to, you know, think differently, think better, and make life better for yourself. And so, you know, it is from your heart and soul. I can tell that, you know, you're doing the work. And as both of you were talking, I had the question, how are you taking care of yourselves? Because I know when you're the type to give and give and give, and you know, Becky, I know you a little bit better, of course, than Kelly. But, you know, when you're working with, you know, people that are developmentally challenged or, you know, and they're underinsured or uninsured, you know, you're already helping a population that's basically ignored and underserved. I know if you're doing that, your heart is big and expansive and you're always showing up. So my concern or my hope for you guys is that you're caring for yourselves in all this. So, and I'm saying all this, I want to pause to say, you know, we have listeners all around the country, around the world, and so many of our listeners are helping professionals. They're nurses, they're doctors, they're, I have a friend who listens in Uganda. He and his wife are literally serving like 150 kids, just them. I mean, they're just, you know, so many of our listeners around the world are doing great, great work. And it's like, we want to take care of ourselves so we don't forget that we have to take care of ourselves to be able to continue doing the work. So either one of you want to talk a little bit about your self-care and how you, or you're laughing because you're like, what self-care?
how do you? No, I definitely am. But I just know that Becky and I constantly are like, we need to do this. We need to do this for ourselves. And then it's just, whoop. For me personally, I, am really big into weightlifting.
Oh, awesome.
And I just, that helps me balance. Mm-hmm. I do that pretty much every morning, which is another reason why I run late every morning as well. But if I don't take the 30 minutes I need for myself, then I definitely feel, unbalanced. I also, involved in my treatment, I believe that food is a very big cursor to mental health. And I'm very big into what I eat, what goes into my body, and I pay a lot of attention to that. But that also at the same time is a self-care tool for myself because I love to cook, I love to bake. So all those things I throw in to there. And then I also, Dignity definitely supports the clinicians within their self-care, which is included in the rate too for the therapist in their contract to encourage that. So whether it's pedicures, which is another one of mine, and other things like that, it's all there.
Cool. Oh, yeah. I think that's all really important. And you haven't mentioned it, but you're also a mom of a three-year-old, right?
Yes.
Right? So that
four-year-old going on.
Yeah, exactly. So in other words, you're very busy. And I think that's really good for our listeners too. It's good for me. I'm a mom. My son is 16 and it's a lot to manage in a given day. And I think sometimes people get the idea that, oh yeah, self-care is for people that have all kinds of time. And really you just make the time, you know, within your day, because it's really a self-worth thing that you, you know, remember that you're worth it and that, you know, when you're taking care of yourself, it really fuels the other work and you're able to do the other things you're called to do even better. That's what I think. You know, my exercise I do is jujitsu. I found it about a year ago and I love it. And I think without that, I would be a very different person right now. It really has provided me with a lot of beautiful connections emotionally, physically. It takes me out of myself. I get lots of correction for what I do, you know, because I'm still learn, you know, in a real learning phase. So all those things for me are a part of my self-care. You know, they help me always be in a position of learning, of growing. And then I can take some of those lessons and apply them to my clients, to my speaking, you know, et cetera. Like one of the key things recently that's really helped me personally and professionally is there's a jujitsu move when you do it. And the professor says, look through the problem. What a great idea. Look through the problem. Now, somebody could have told me that in a therapeutic session. I'm not sure I would have taken it in. in the same way that I did physically when somebody was pinning me down. You know, it was like, okay, how do I look through this problem, relax and breathe, and still figure out a way through this? I don't have to look down at the problem. I look through the problem and figure out a new way, right? So I can apply that to any area. And what I thought I was doing was just exercising, you know. But that's what I mean. The self-care is super, super important. And Becky, what about for you? Anything you would share about your self-care? How you, because it's a journey to self-care, right? It's not like any of us do it perfectly.
It's a complete journey. And I feel like there's a lot of mm-hmm. learning that goes into it, because as helpers, we're all very quick mm-hmm. to drop that. That becomes low priority. Right. And sometimes it feels silly to say, no, I need to take a minute to do mm-hmm. X, Y, or Z. I need to take this hour to go get a pedicure. It's not luxury. It's not frou-frou. It's self-care. Myself, yeah. I'm a creative. So I do painting. I crochet. I do crafty mm-hmm. things. Once a year, I pull out my Cricut and do something with like some vinyl. I don't know. But
well, yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when you were talking about your jujitsu and looking through the problem, it's so amazing to me how really our mental health care is so yeah. holistic. It's yes. a part of all of our bodies, part of all of ourselves. So it's not yeah. like we can go to therapy and then put our therapy session on a shelf for the next time.
Right.
It encompasses everything that we do our entire life. So the more that we can support ourselves throughout our journey, yeah. You yeah. know, the better off we are. And the more that we can help other folks in the community get there too, the better the community mm-hmm. is in general, you know.
I think that's exactly right. I in my late 20s, I had a physical issue that really led to a more holistic approach to my life. Frankly, I was dying and I didn't know. And Kelly, as you were talking about food, it was actually food related. I didn't realize that I couldn't have wheat. So I had celiac disease and didn't know it. And so I was basically killing myself with what I was eating. And as I, you know, kind of came through that journey to the other side, what happened was like this, a development of myself. You know, it wasn't just about food. It was about listening to my body. Well, what was my body telling me? It was about, you know, learning to put better things in and noticing as I put better things in, I felt better. Well, then that was about the time my spiritual journey took a new turn and I found myself called into ministry, you know, so it was like one thing after another. And it is, as you say, Becky, a holistic approach. And that's our work on the channel. We often say it is holistic. It is at times challenging and at times confrontive, because we want to confront our own limiting beliefs so that we can grow past those, you know, and into the new person we're really being called to be. And I think it helps our whole lives, ourselves, our families, and then therefore our communities and world. Like, I think all the problems we see in the world right now, what if there were people who were supported and knowing their own power? What if there were people that knew that they were loved, that they were cherished, that they were valued, and that they knew that value? All of the problems we see in our world would go away. Because the things we see in our world today are people that feel unloved, unsupported, they are depressed, they are feeling separate, they are feeling unworthy, all of those things. So it's why I had you on, because I do believe that the spiritual journey that I help people with, the mental health journey you're helping people with, this is all a key to a more healthy society and, frankly, happier society. And that the focus then is not just on money and what can we get, but in fact, who can we be? And that's what I think we're really called to, you know, a higher beingness. So I thank you both for being on the show today. I want to also do a shout out, because we had realized recently that we have people all over the world. And I have some dear friends in Rowlett, Texas. So reaching out to you guys, Susan and Doug, love you guys. And I love that you're sharing the show with friends and family. So thank you for listening. And also, Dave, Canada. We have some listeners in Saskatchewan, Canada, right?
Yep, Regina, Saskatchewan. Thank you. Thank you so much for watching or listening to the podcast. Really do appreciate you.
Yeah, yeah. And if you haven't yet subscribed, registered, and all those things where you can, please do. You know, I've not made a big deal about YouTube, but because most of you listen and don't watch, but would love to have you subscribe on YouTube. So that way you get a notification anytime a video, you know, goes up, or even an ad about future courses or coaching. We'd love to have you be a part of that. And we also want to especially thank Becky and Kelly for coming on the show with Dignity Inc. I just appreciate all the great work you're doing. I love, again, specialized counseling, helping people. And we wish you well on your journey. Thank you for joining us. And I want to mention that in the show notes, we have information if people do want to donate to your organization. And any donations that come in through the podcast this month, 10% will go back to your organization for me. So if anybody gives to the podcast this month, it will go back to you 10%. And if anybody would like to give directly to you, they can go to godignity.org, or they can go to your Facebook page, which is what, Becky? I forgot. I know it's in the show notes, but feel free to say what that is.
It's facebook.com/dignityinc22.
Dignityinc22. Okay. Very, very good. All right, dear friends, thank you for joining us. And as always, to our listeners, we are grateful. We are blessed for all your support. We are honored to support your journey. And we look forward to seeing you next week. Blessings on the journey, dear friends.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Authentic Spiritual Journey here on the Experience of the Soul podcast channel. This channel is made possible because of listeners just like you. If you would like to support the channel with your tax-deductible contribution on an ongoing basis or through a one-time gift, head over to experienceofthesoul.com/support. The Authentic Spiritual Journey is copyright 2023, Cynthia Alice Anderson, all rights reserved. Our theme music is composed by Dave Croft and used with permission from RR Hot Publishing. The Experience of the Soul podcast channel is a production of 818 Studios.
Thank you for listening to the show today, dear friends. I'm always happy to have you along the journey. If you're seeking deeper work, though, I'm going to invite you into one-on-one coaching with me. In my coaching work, I get to glean from my over 30 years of experience of working with individuals and leaders in the community on their spiritual journey. So I have a wealth of information that will help you along the journey, and it will be supportive. It will be supportive of your dreams, goals, and desires, but it will also be confrontive, because I am going to help you confront those limiting patterns and beliefs and help you break through those aspects and move into looking at life in a more holistic way. So even though it will be confrontive and at times even challenging, you will learn to grow, you will learn to prosper, and you will evolve into the person you have always wanted to be. Friends, the answers lie within you, and I am so honored to help empower you to live that truth and that goodness in the world. If you want to learn more about coaching with me, simply go to CynthiaAliceAnderson.com and go to the coaching section for more information. That's CynthiaAliceAnderson.com and go to coaching. And I'll be happy to set up a one-on-one call so we can discuss how I can best support your journey. Thanks again for joining me today, dear friend, and blessings on the journey.